the unknown.
Mystery.
Space.
Science!
Have fun.
Adventure.
Suspense.
Fantasy.
Nameless, unreasoning, unjustified terror.
Welcome to Journey number 33 of the Journey Into podcast, featuring Horatio Hornblower in The Duchess and the Devil. Well, we've come to the last installment of Midshipman Hornblower, and I think you'll find in today's tale that Horatio shows the great man that he is, and the great officer that he will continue to be. Now come with me as we journey into bravery and honor.
We present Nigel Anthony in The Hornblower Story, adapted from four of the C.S. Forrester novels by Val Gielgud. Part 5 from Mr. Midshipman Hornblower, The Duchess and the Devil.
Every midshipman lives with two words ringing in his ears: independent command. For it is on the chance of independent command, and on his ability to make good of that chance, that the foundation of his professional career will depend. With the Marie Galante and her cargo of rice, I had failed, although Captain Pellew had been indulgent to that failure. All the more was I determined to succeed when I sailed from Gibraltar Bay, commanding the sloop Le Rêve on passage to England. But I was not only responsible for Le Rêve and her crew. I carried dispatches from the Admiral of the Mediterranean Fleet to Plymouth, whither I was to proceed with all possible expedition. And, in addition, as passengers, Her Grace the Duchess of Wharfdale and her maid. I had been presented to Her Grace at dinner with the Governor of Gibraltar the day before we sailed. She was hardly my idea, still less my ideal of a duchess. She was more than middle-aged. She was blousy. Both her costume and her accent were of a startling vulgarity. My feelings as she came aboard Le Rêve could only be described as mixed.
Governor's launch coming alongside, Mr. Hornblower.
Thank you, Hunter. I've eyes in my head. Is the cabin for the ladies all prepared?
I've seen to it myself, sir.
So I should hope. We shall need two hands, maybe three, for Her Grace's baggage.
Aye, aye, sir. I suppose the Governor's come to see us safely off?
You suppose correctly. His Excellency is hardly likely to be making the voyage with us. A hand for the ladies there, Mr. Hunter. Welcome aboard Le Rêve, Your Grace, Your Excellency.
Happy to see you again, young man.
Good morning, Mr. Hornblower. I wish to show the Duchess to her quarters myself.
Of course, sir. Rather cramped, I fear, with the two cots in the one cabin.
I expect we shall live through it. And that's more than many a man making a little trip to Tyburn can say, eh, Sir Hugh?
Oh, I see you are a philosopher, Duchess.
Oh. Oh, don't stand there gawking, Patience. No one will eat you.
May I lead the way, Duchess?
Mind your heads against the deck beams as you go down.
Thank you.
Follow with Her Grace's baggage, Hunter. See that it's properly stowed and as she likes it.
And you will see that Her Grace is made as comfortable as possible, Mr. Hornblower?
Of course, sir.
Yeah, that's right. Then, a last word with you before I leave. You have the Admiral's dispatches.
Locked in my cabin, sir.
I trust I need not remind you of their importance.
No, sir.
Once past Cape Trafalgar, you should be clear of possible danger from the Dons. But before then, keep an open eye on Algeciras and Tarifa in case of a marauding privateer.
Yes, sir. Man the windlass and raise the anchor!
Then I'll take my leave and wish you a prosperous voyage.
Thank you, Your Excellency. Sharpish now! Stand by there, Mr. Wynett!
Aye, aye, sir!
Jib halyards! Mainsail halyards! Bring her before the wind!
I could not relax when the forenoon watch wore on. As the governor had warned me, I kept my glass alternately on Tarifa and Algeciras. I watched the mountains of southern Spain sink below the horizon. Then, realized I had been continuously on my feet for 11 hours, and that there might be disadvantages in independent command. I dined alone, as a captain should. To my halting invitation, the Duchess had merely replied that she needed nothing, not even dinner. As night closed in, I went on deck again. We were paying the price for a fair wind. We were engulfed in a creeping, watery mist. Master Mate Wynett had the watch.
Glad to see you, Mr. Hornblower. It's coming up thick.
And it'll be thicker still by morning, if I'm not mistaken.
Listen to that, sir.
Well?
A ship, sir. And not so far off. I thought I heard something just before you came up, sir. An order given in some foreign lingo. I couldn't believe my ears.
Why not? We are hardly out of Spanish waters. Maybe she's a treasure galleon, Wynett. Make us all rich for life.
With our 4-pounders, Mr. Hornblower?
Call all hands to quarters. Quietly now. No shouting. Go forward and speak to each man yourself.
Aye, aye, sir.
Ah, and happy Valentine's Day to you, young man.
Keep quiet.
May I ask you...
Listen to that.
What is it?
That is a Spaniard calling the watch.
Solemn, I'd call it.
Solemn? It's the devil. We're in the middle of a fleet. That's you, Wynett.
All at quarters, sir. Mr. Hunter's just coming up.
Good. You were right. The Dons are out.
Big ships, too, I'll lay. I could hear half a dozen pipes when they called the watch.
And we've walked into the middle of them. Setting more sail, Wynett. They snug down at night like a fat Indiaman, only to set their topgallants at daybreak.
And make enough noise about it.
Hunter, Mr. Hornblower.
In time to see the fun, if there was anything to see.
Please God, they're on a different course to us, sir. Then we'll soon be through.
Not likely. We must have overhauled them in the fog while they were running under short canvas.
Can't we alter course, sir?
Wait.
By God, it's clearing.
One clear patch. Stay where you are, Wynett, damn you.
Aye, aye, sir. Look there. 50 guns, or I'm a Dutchman.
Stand fast. The Rev is French rigged. They're a happy-go-lucky lot, these Dons. We've a chance.
And here comes the mist again. Thank God.
Mr. Hunter, hands to wareship. Lay her on the port tack, and I needn't tell you to do it quietly. Get her hauled as close to the wind as she'll lie.
Aye, aye, sir.
Crossing their course now.
Please God, it'll be under their sterns and not their bows, sir.
Mr. Hornblower.
Your Grace, don't you think you should go below?
Oh, no, please. I couldn't bear it.
As you wish, of course. You will excuse me. I have some urgent business to attend to in my cabin.
I had remembered the Admiral's dispatches. They were locked away in 2 big sealed envelopes. But the Admiral's secretary had been careless. They had not been weighted as they should have been. I went back on deck and began carefully to tie the envelopes to an iron belaying pin with a bit of line.
What are you doing, Mr. Hornblower?
I want to make sure these will sink when I throw them overboard, if we're captured.
Then they'll be lost for good.
Better lost, Your Grace, than that the Spaniard should read them.
I could look after them for you, Mr. Hornblower. I could indeed.
They might search your baggage. Probably they would. No.
As if I'd put them in my baggage. I know better than that. I'll put them next my skin. They won't search me. They'll never find them. Not if I put them up my petticoats.
But, Your Grace...
My Grace, nothing. If they take us, and I pray they don't, they'll never keep me prisoner. You know that. They'll send me to Lisbon or put me aboard a king's ship as soon as they can. Then I can deliver your dispatches. Better late than not at all.
That's true.
I swear to you, I'll guard them like my life. I'll never part from them. I'll tell no one I have them till I can hand them to a king's officer.
Fog's thinning out, Razor.
Oh. It's too risky and...
Don't argue, young man. No time. These damned French fashions. Give me a yard of that string, quick.
Your Grace, you cannot...
If you've never seen a woman's stocking tops before, young man, 'tis high time you did. There. Inside my shift, and next my skin, as I promised you. No one wears stays no more with these directoire fashions, so the string's tied round me waist outside me shift. One envelope's flat against me chest, and t'other against me back. Would you suspect anything? Not even if I turn round.
Nothing shows, certainly. I must thank Your Grace.
There may be a certain thickening, but after all, aren't I a married woman, Mr. Hornblower? It don't matter what the dons suspect, as long as it ain't the truth.
Right. Where ship again, Mr. Hunter? We must try to get back into the fog.
Aye, aye, sir. Starboard to helm, 2 points. Fore and main sheets.
I must insist you go below now.
Not back to that cabin where that seasick girl lies hoping to die. And don't you tell me that stinking box could keep out a cannonball.
Her Grace would be safe in the old, lying on the beef barrels.
Oh, I've lain in some funny places, but beef barrels.
Hands to the sheets. Jibe her over, Mr. Hunter.
Aye, aye, sir.
Your Grace, that's a Spanish frigate firing at us, and those weren't warning shots. Anybody hurt?
A few bruises, sir.
Damage?
Pretty bad, Mr. Hornblower. Mast, boom and gaff overside to windward. One more broadside like that, sir.
I know.
Oh, bad luck for you, young man. I can't tell you how sorry I am.
Your Grace had better look to your baggage and to comforting that maid of yours. I fear you'll be leaving us shortly for quarters with the dons. I hope they will make you more comfortable than I could.
If you please, sir.
Well?
We can still fight, sir. Give the word. Cold shot to drop on their boats if they try to board. We might beat them off.
With 20 of their guns pointing directly at us, I think not, Mr. Hunter. It's not odds of 10 to 1. It's 10,000 to 1. We must strike.
Aye, aye, sir.
A private word with you, Mr. Hornblower.
Well, Your Grace?
There's something I should tell you whilst there's still time. Look, young man, I'm no more a duchess than you are. I'm Kitty Cobham. You're too young for that name to have any memories for you. 'Tis all of 5 years since last I trod the boards.
Kitty Cobham? The play actress?
So you've heard of her, Mr. Hornblower? Well, there's no time now to tell you the whole story. But I was penniless when the French marched into Florence, and I had to escape.
I see. Give me back my dispatches, and quickly, if you please.
Well, if you insist, Mr. Hornblower, I would only remind you that I can still play the Duchess when the Spaniards come aboard. They will free me as speedily as they can. I'll deliver those dispatches in less than a month, if only you'll trust me.
Really, madam?
I know, I know. You saw me at the governor's dinner and I made use of the bottle. And you'd have done the same if you'd have been me. But I won't touch a drop. Not a drop until I'm in England. I swear it. Please, sir, I beg of you. Let me do what I can for my country.
Keep them. Deliver them if and when you can.
Thank you. Oh, Thank you, Mr. Hornblower.
Boat from the Spaniard coming alongside, sir.
The Dons came aboard. I presented the Duchess to the boarding lieutenant in such Spanish as I could muster. The title had its effect. The lieutenant bowed deeply. The Duchess behaved with the most perfect aristocratic aloofness. I could try to console myself with the certainty that my dispatches, at any rate, were safe. I needed consolation, for to be a prisoner is a dreadful thing. Not so much the physical conditions. 10 square feet of floor and an empty sail loft in Ferrol was little worse than what I had put up with as a junior officer at sea. But the loss of freedom, that was a different thing. And it was 4 months before I received a letter. A letter in handwriting I did not know.
Darling boy, I hope it will give you happiness to hear that what you gave me
has reached its destination. My heart bleeds to know that you remain a prisoner. Yet I'm told that they are pleased with what you have done, and one of them is a shareholder in Drury Lane. I only smiled at him out of kindness of my heart while I told him of our dangers and my precious burden. It seems he was so struck by my smile that he demanded a part for me from Mr. Sheridan, and now I am playing no less than a second lead. I have not tasted wine since I saw you last, nor shall I ever again. I was promised this letter should go to you in the next cartel. I can only hope it reaches you in good time and brings you some comfort. Your devoted friend,
Catherine Cobham. So she foxed them, by God. And to what do I owe the pleasure of this visit, Senor Commandant?
I like to try to improve my English, Senor Hornblower. But a letter has been passed to me by our authorities, which comes from your Admiralty. It seems you have been promoted.
I've what?
Promoted, Senor. The Spanish authorities are informed that on account of his meritorious service, their lordships of the Admiralty in England express their confidence that Lieutenant Hornblower will immediately be admitted to the privileges while a prisoner of commissioned rank. My felicitations, Senor.
Thank you.
Now that you are a commissioned officer, you will of course be transferred to the quarters reserved for captured officers. You will receive the half pay of your rank, and your parole will be accepted.
My parole?
Certainly. You will be at liberty to visit in the town and neighborhood for 2 hours each day, on giving your word as an officer and a gentleman.
Thank you.
I assure you, you will find it a considerable mitigation of your natural unhappiness, Senor. To be able to wander the streets at will, to drink a cup of chocolate or take a glass of wine. You will enjoy these things.
I'm grateful, of course. But somehow I think I shall most enjoy getting an occasional sight of the sea again.
You are dedicated to your profession, Senor.
I will not pretend that I did not get great pleasure from the news of my promotion, though I could have wished to believe it to have been due more to my meritorious service and less to the languishing smiles which Kitty Cobham had evidently bestowed upon the Admiral, who held shares in Drury Lane Theatre. Nor would I deny that better food and better quarters did a good deal to alleviate the exasperations of captivity. But, as I had said to the Commandant, what I most appreciated was the chance to walk out to the headland above Ferrol Harbour, to feel the wind blowing free from the Atlantic, to watch the great rollers crashing in against the coast, and now and then, in the far distance, to get a sight of some British ship of war on patrol. It was from that headland, late one afternoon, that I saw 2 ships hurtling landward under a raging gale, a Spanish privateer chased by an English frigate. It would be a close thing whether the Don could reach the protection of the shore batteries before the frigate overhauled her.
Senor Commandant, what brings you up here?
No need for alarm, Senor Hornblower. I was not looking for you.
Your parole is still good.
Only for about another 10 minutes. I was watching those ships.
They are the reason I am here. They were seen from my headquarters, so I come to see if there is anything to be done. I fear not.
May I extend my parole, sir?
If you please. I can understand you're enjoying the sight of what must almost certainly be a Spanish wreck.
And an English one? The frigate's running too close inshore.
Her crew are probably more accomplished.
I was not thinking of English or Spaniards, sir, but of any seaman who may be in peril.
The sentiment does you honor, Senor Hornblower. What can be done for them? That is what matters.
If they carry away a topmast, or the sails blow from the bolt ropes, they'll be ashore, even if they can round the headland.
On that reef, the devil's teeth. It is a dreadful place.
Might I suggest something, sir?
But of course.
Could you find me 6 men at the dockyard who know the bay? Fishermen, perhaps. And one, at least, who speaks English.
I think so.
Then let me mount up behind you on your horse and we'll ride for the dockyard. If your ship strikes, I might be able to save the men.
Save them?
We could carry a boat by some means across the headland. But we must be quick.
Carry? But how?
I can show you at the dockyard. But we must hurry.
Now, senor, what is your plan?
A team of horses. Have them harnessed. Sling one of those boats there up onto the quay. Better still, onto that low dray. And half a dozen empty barrels, little ones. They'll keep the boat afloat even if she fills to the gunwale.
Ah, I begin to understand. But remember, Senor Hornblower, I still have your parole.
You have it. I beg you to give your orders, sir. And hurry, for God's sake.
Inspired by the commandant with the need for instant action, the boat was hoisted onto the dray, oars, mast, and sail checked, some stores put safely away into the stern sheets. 6 burly fishermen with a weather-beaten Galician as their captain were picked out from a crowd of would-be volunteers. Someone shouted. The horses plunged and heaved. It was something almost resembling a triumphant procession, which tugged that boat up to and across the headland whence we could see a wreck. Black against seething foam on the line of the devil's teeth. The crew forced the boat clear of the sand and scrambled aboard. The Galician laid a steering oar in the notch in the stern, then looked to me for orders.
You speak English?
Si, senor. Good English. Me, Carlos.
Swinger. Understand? Swing around the end of Devil's Teeth. There. Meet waves with her bows.
Understand well.
Good. Can your men manage it?
Si, senor.
Then steer clear of it, for God's sake. We have to get close enough to take off the men without being stove in ourselves.
Si, senor. We manage. Can you see how many?
I can see 4, I think.
Only 4, nombre de Dios, no more.
The others must have gone overboard when she struck.
Those men, they are very tired, maybe.
Then wave, shout, get their attention somehow as we get close to them. They must swim for it.
Si, senor, but... once we have them aboard, what then?
Sea room, Carlos. Get out to sea. Ride to a sea anchor. Understand?
Si, senor. Good.
Good indeed, if we can manage it.
We rescued 3 out of 4. The 4th, poor fellow, mistimed his jump and sank like a stone. The water was washing over us. The darkness was closing down. The survivors had to be shaken into consciousness, and bailers forced into their hands, for if they were not kept active, they would surely die of cold. cold wind, cold spray, jerk, pitch and roll, sit up, bail, cower down and shudder, muttering curses. It was a night of torment. I could hardly believe it when the grey dawn came up, and there was a ship, hove to under storm canvas, and I recognized the English frigate. I signaled her with my shirt, the only white object we had in the boat, and we were taken aboard. Carlos and his 6 fishermen, now just 2 Spanish sailors, the third had died of exposure during the night, and last of all, myself.
You there, who's your captain?
And who might you be?
I am a king's officer. See to these poor devils. Hot drink, dry clothes, and jump to it.
Aye, aye, sir.
And treat the body decently.
A stiffen?
He must be given decent burial. Now, who is your captain?
Captain Chrome, sir. Frigate Certis. 24.
Thank you. If you'd help me below.
You're lucky to be alive, Mr. Hornblower.
I'm much in your debt, sir.
I recommend some more of that hot rum and water, if you can stomach it.
Thank you.
Those Galician fishermen make good sailors. I can't press them. Maybe one or two will volunteer to join rather than go to the prison hulk.
If I might say something, sir.
Well?
They came with me to save life, sir. They're not liable to capture.
I'm a post captain, Mr. Hornblower. You're telling me my duty.
It's some time since I last read Admiralty instructions, sir, but I think...
Admiralty instructions. Well, you may be right. I'll consider it.
The dead man. Would you give him proper burial, sir? The Galicians risked their lives to save him.
A popish burial, you mean? Yes, I'll give them a free hand.
Thank you, sir.
For yourself, you say you hold a commission as lieutenant. You can do duty in the ship for the present.
I'm sorry, sir.
What for?
I am only here on parole, sir. I gave my word before I left the beach at Farol.
That alters the case. So, what do you mean to do?
I must go back, sir, at the first opportunity.
You're a gentleman, Mr. Hornblower. The temptation must have been considerable. Very well, I'll send you into Corunna under a flag of truce as soon as the wind moderates. And I'll see what the instructions have to say about those prisoners.
During those moments in Captain Chrome's cabin, I had known what it was to be tempted by the devil. To be free. No more taste of garbanzos, but salt beef and biscuit, and the feel of a king's ship under my feet. To be free. But I could not do it. 2 mornings later, a boat ran me into Corunna under a white flag, and from there I was taken back to Ferrol. I fancy the commandant was surprised to see me. It was some months, early spring, when I was asked to report one morning to his office.
Ah, Senor Hornblower.
You wanted to see me, sir?
I am most happy to see you. I have here a personal order concerning you.
Indeed.
Countersigned by the Ministry of Marine, but it is also signed by our First Minister, Senor Hornblower.
Yes, sir.
Shall I read it to you?
If you please.
It says, we, Carlos Leonardo Luis Manuel de Godoy, First Minister of His Most Catholic Majesty, Prince of Peace, Capitan General of His Most Catholic Majesty's Forces by Sea and Land, etc., etc.
Yes, sir.
Well, in short, it is an order to me to take immediate steps to set you at liberty.
Liberty?
Precisely, senor. I am to restore you under a flag of truce to your own countrymen in recognition of your courage and self-sacrifice in saving Spanish lives at the peril of your own. I would be honored to shake your hand, Senor Hornblower.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. Thank you.
In part 5 of the Hornblower story, you heard Nigel Anthony as Lord Hornblower, the narrator. Sir Hugh Dalrymple, Governor of Gibraltar, was played by George Hagan. Hornblower as a youth, Nicholas Fry. The Duchess of Wharfdale, Rosalind Knight. Mr. Midshipman Hunter, James Simmons. Wynett, Master Mate, Brian Southwood. Spanish Commandant, Ron Davies. Carlos, Graham Tennant. Captain Chrome, Russell Dixon. This episode of the Hornblower story was directed by Christopher Hayton Webb.
As I said, this is the last installment of Midshipman Hornblower. But stay tuned for future journeys where we feature Lieutenant Hornblower. And all I can tell you is, it only gets better from here. Now remember that submissions open for Flash Fiction for the Journey Into podcast, starting in a couple days on April 15th. You can send your submissions to journeyintosubs.com. That's journeyintosubs@gmail.com. And if you'd like to look at the submission guidelines, you can go to the blog site at journeyintopodcast.blogspot.com and look at the labels on the right-hand side for submission guidelines. That's all we have for this week. Until next time, journey on. The Journey Into podcast is produced under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives license. Share it all you want, but don't sell it or change it. The theme music for this podcast is provided by Man in Space.